CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today,
emergency guest, Patrick.
Back to my old ways. I think literally the first time or second time I was ever on this show, it was an emergency guest spot. And
yeah, it's strange.
I happened to look at Twitter when you,
it's strange.
When you said, oh no, I got canceled.
So I won't
say
who it was, because we are going to get him back.
And, yeah, people, and, hey, life happens.
Right, and it was, you know, he had emailed me this morning about the emergency, and I woke up to a stream. I woke up to the email. I was like, well, crap. Yeah, because I can't tell him, like, yeah, don't be on. I'm like, no, it's okay. As life happens. And I was like, well, there might not be, like, I was planning on either seeing who was going to be free Thursday, record it then, and go accordingly. And then Patrick's like, well, if you want to guess, I'm downstairs.
I live downstairs.
That was better.
So,
I was like,
I have a night off. I'm not doing anything.
You know,
so
just come.
There's
come
no
on,
wrestling man. To watch.
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah, that's right. Cause those are Monday nights
and Tuesdays. Technically, there is wrestling to watch on Wednesday, but it's a pre-taped show.
So okay,
and I'm not that invested.
So
in it right
let me
now.
Go, let me see if I remember correctly. We have Monday Night Raw.
Uh huh.
Is Thursday still SmackDown?
SmackDown is now
Tuesday,
and it's live. It's not a recorded show.
Okay, so SmackDown,
and they have separate rosters. So
okay.
Basically,
right. I was
there's two channels.
Two chains.
Two like
and those chains
lines.
Eventually meet at like SummerSlam. Or
yes,
something.
At the big four pay per views.
Right. Okay.
We're building. We're starting right now the build for SummerSlam.
Right. All right. I understand now. Okay. And then there's fuck. What is it? The WWE. Is it E-Next?
NXT.
NXT. That's
which
their
is their...
They're like bleeding edge.
Developmental.
Mental, right.
Which is a which has become sort of a combination of people WWE wish were good at wrestling and indie guys who want to get off of the indie
train and break out.
And have like a regular, predictable schedule.
The only
trying
know,
to make
the
main
only reason
roster.
I know about that is like a lot of those events, I think, go happen in Florida sometimes.
Yeah, they film at Full Sail.
Right.
They have a studio there. Although I've heard rumor they're looking for a bigger place because they pack Full Sail.
Yeah, my friend,
know,
friend of the show, fam of the show, nerdcore hip hop artist, IQ, Chris Allen. He lives in Orlando, so he's been at the next.
It's
one
of those.
Convention.
One of those things I'd love to go NXT. See. I got to see when they were in San Antonio, Rumble weekend, their big live
Jackie
show.
Here in the chat room says, eyes glaze over with sports
it's
ball
It's not
talk.
Sports ball. It's professional wrestling.
Which
it is not a sport.
It is sports entertainment.
It is sports entertainment. It is
speaking
theater,
of,
but with
of,
death-defying stunts.
Speaking of sports entertainment, have you seen the 30 for 30 on the XFL?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Such a okay. For those, by the way, for those in the chat room, and we're broadcasting both to YouTube and Twitch. So whatever you're watching on, welcome. If you're watching on either, if you've not checked, ESPN does this sort of documentary series, 30 for 30, where it's 30.
Well,
directors.
It started out as 30 for the 30th anniversary of ESPN.
Right.
And it was the best thing ESPN had done in 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's continued since.
And what's funny is I think that will probably outlive anything ESPN does.
I don't have cable. I haven't watched ESPN as a regular viewer in probably 5 years.
You've paid for 30 for 30.
I love 30 for 30.
I do too.
I will go out of my way to hunt them down. I will sign into my parents' cable account.
I bought a subscription. Because I now have PlayStation View, and I'm able to watch live stream television. Mm-hmm. I had flipped on one of the 30 for 30s on PS View, saw commercials, said, fuck this. And I immediately paid for it on Amazon. And paid, you know, bought the subscription for this year's 30 for
30. They're almost universally good. Now, some are better than others.
For sure.
But so many of them are
so basic, yeah,
are brilliant. Whether or not, like, I've watched everything,
yeah,
there is about 80s and 90s basketball.
I've watched.
I don't care about basketball as a sport. I never really have since childhood.
There's
Like, I will watch about any 1980s or early 90s college team that made a run in the Final Four. I don't care who it is. I'll watch it.
So to give a really quick explainer, basically it is 30 documentaries done by 30
different directors.
Different directors.
And some of them are people you've heard of, and some of them made their name literally making a 30 for 30.
So, and for those who, and even if you've not watched a 30 for 30, you know of one. And it became, it was such a deep subject. There are technically two documentaries, and one is a miniseries by the theoretical, you know, by all this stuff. One is, and I have to look at the date. I always have to look at this date because it's such a, it's one of those dates that I never remember, and I'll never ever remember.
We're talking about the OJ.
Well, there's OJ Chase. Made in America,
yeah,
which is a miniseries, which is a technically a,
it's in the 30 for 30 family, but that one's sort of something above and beyond the typical 30 for 30, which are range from like 60 minute to 2 hours. Some, most of them are in sort of the 60 to 90 minute range with a couple that are longer. There's some that have sequels. So like there's two about the University
of Miami.
So we're
coming up. We're coming up at ironically enough, we're coming up in 7 days on the anniversary. But the date is June 14th. The name of the documentary is June 14th, 1990. Bitch of type, let's see.
I feel like it's two.
Yeah, it's like 1994. Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be.
That's a weird documentary, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched that one?
Like, yeah.
It's sort of the anti-documentary. It is literally just the TV coverage of everything that happened that day, which was absurd.
Honestly, it might be my favorite documentary.
It's such an oddball one from a filmmaking perspective.
But that's why I think I like it, because it's just like really cool. Like it's like for me, a lot of the a lot of my favorite sort of content stuff or slice of life stuff to a certain degree, especially when it comes to
anime. That is very much.
And it's such a weird.
It's a day of news, basically.
Well, because like
compressed into a documentary.
Well, because the crazy thing about that day, and I talked about this before, but when it comes to June 17th, 1994. This is a very much the day, for those who have no idea, it was the day that was the white Bronco chase, which is the one that OJ said he would might kill himself. And then all the fun trial. Anyways, the point
that has been parodied a million times.
Right. These are all the things that happened in sports.
I'm familiar with some of these, but not
these
all
are
of
all
them.
The things that the documentary happened. And the crazy thing about this is that all these amazing things in sports history are going on. And every one of the footage, and that was a really eye-opening portion of it, everybody was cutting back to the OJ thing.
Because it was the most, like,
everybody.
I was 8 years old.
Yeah, I know.
And I remember OJ vividly.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the next year when I was in fourth grade, that some kid for Halloween dressed up as Judge Ito, and it was the best Halloween costume in history. Think about that. A fourth grader dressed as Judge Lance
Ito. Here are all
Ito.
The things
that
going.
That is what the world
so
is he, like.
So it is. The events detailed in the documentary that occurred during the chase of Simpson are as follows. Arnold Palmer playing his final round at the U.S. Open.
Wow.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer, for those who have no idea, is a big, big, big golf player.
Also creator of the greatest beverage in history.
The Arnold Palmer.
The Arnold Palmer of iced tea and lemonade. Or my variation of choice, the John Daly, which is where you
dump
vodka into
that. And here's a personal favorite of mine, because at the time, I actually had a sticker book for this, and I'm starting to get back into soccer. This makes all sense. The commencement of the 1994 FIFA World Cup.
Oh, my God. World Cup 94 started?
The first time in the United States.
Yes, I remember 94 vividly.
Yes.
That was like...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So,
I did not know that started that day, too.
The New York Rangers celebrating their win at the Stanley Cup Finals with a ticker tape parade on Broadway. It took place earlier in the day, but it was largely unaffected by the OJ events, but still that. This is the kicker one, because this in its own right is a big would be a big fucking deal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that they had to go, we're sorry to interrupt, but Game 5 of the NBA Finals between Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks.
Oh yeah, and that was like
yes.
There's another documentary that includes that finals.
Yep.
That's the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rockets, like the Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yep.
Rockets versus Patrick Ewing and Knicks.
And they're through this whole broadcast like, we're sorry to interrupt the NBA Finals, Game 5 of the playoffs. Like one of the biggest sporting events in the United States. And they're cutting back to the Bronco chase.
Because it was the most amazing thing we had ever seen.
And
plus, you had the fact that L.A. loves a car chase, so they were prepared for it. They had all of the news helicopters you could ever imagine.
And here's the last one. Ken Griffey Jr. timed Babe Ruth's record for the most home runs before June 30th and the team's 65th game of the season.
Wow.
All these things happened
on that. Can we just talk about how great Ken Griffey Jr. was?
Oh, yeah.
And how unappreciated he is because Barry Bonds broke all those records because he was on the juice.
Look, does Bonds have a Super Nintendo game?
No, he doesn't. No, because that game is amazing. I literally just bought it not that long ago for Super Nintendo because I remember renting it from the video store as a child.
So But also,
Ken Griffey Jr., I hope history will remember him as well as I do, because there was like this period in the early 90s where everyone was sure he was going to be the greatest baseball player ever. And he ended up being a very good baseball player.
Right.
Maybe even a great player, but never quite living up to the hype of his first two or three seasons.
No.
But he's a great player.
For sure.
He's a Hall of Famer.
It's so funny. But yeah, when you look back at all that data there.
Yeah,
it's just it's mind-boggling how all those things happen on that exact day.
Yeah, it's like any given week in 2017,
right? For sure,
it is. It's literally one week in 2017, but all at the same day.
Only for that one, it's cool because it's all these different like big moments in sports in sports history, you know?
Being overshadowed
by
a slow driving white Ford Bronco
that also happens to be a big sports history moment in sports history for whatever reason, you know all these, you know, whether it be the because I would even say like what year was it that we started doing the steroid
stuff was I think the baseball? Early 2000s. I mean, it went back into accusations in the 90s.
Yeah, because like that would be a
because like
I would say
steroids got to be a thing in the late 80s.
Like I'd say that's a big moment in history in sports.
But like
too,
Barry Bonds breaking the record and then the court case a couple of years later,
right?
Where you know suddenly Sammy Sosa doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever seen an interview with Sammy Sosa, guy speaks perfect English.
Oh yeah, no.
In courtroom, not so much.
No.
Habla.
No habla. Es, you know, inglés.
Yeah.
Pinche gringo. There's, you know, like that. I'd say any of your respective strikes for any of your respective sports things.
Most of those were. Oh, the baseball strike, man.
I'd say the one that really that really screwed things over. That really.
It's the baseball strike. You look at at the fan level of baseball pre the strike.
That's true, I guess.
And that it was completely replaced by football within a year or two.
I would say baseball
still has.
Say baseball won the last hockey one.
Last hockey one was bad for hockey, but hockey is a niche sport.
True
in most of the country.
Yeah,
like you're from Michigan, so like
I'm aware.
I was aware
of that strike. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting, again, looking at all that stuff and that's where the 30 for 30 docs, I think, are really good because, A, they're all very solid docs.
Almost all of them.
And when I say solid...
There are some that I think are boring and won't watch again, but most of them are really good. Some of them are, like, some of my favorite documentaries.
Yeah. That's sort of what it is. For me, most of them are I like. Like, one of the really cool one I think, was... I can't remember who the guy was, but it's this guy that eventually worked for Nike. I think I know
the what's his face, the basketball shoe guy.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think that
what's his name? He has the most wonderful Italian name.
Because he was talking about like all the like.
Called Soul Man.
Soul Man, right.
S-O-L-E, Soul Man.
So I think that's a 30 for 30.
Sunny something or other.
I don't know if that's a 30 for 30. Yeah.
It is a 30 for 30.
Okay, because there's two documentaries of them. There's one on the college.
He's in another one, but he basically is the guy who told Nike, no, give all of the money to Michael Jordan when he comes out of college.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who told, I think, Adidas, give all the money to Allen Iverson and Tracy McGrady and like all of the, and he was at Nike telling, or at what, whoever he was, Reebok or Adidas, telling them to give all the money to LeBron, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And somebody, and you know, somebody else did, and that worked out for them. It's, but he also,
well,
like,
he'd, you know,
post his career was like, this whole shoe thing is a little bit messed up.
Yeah. Well, because he talked about like how you know, the college and all, like, it's,
yeah,
a really
basically
cool,
putting shoe money into everything from like college basketball down to like AAU teams getting,
yeah, it was
essentially,
it was
sponsored.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, he even admits like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story of like this, yep, dude and him coming to terms with like, did I ruin the sport I love?
Yeah, and there's that one,
and
there's
his sort of fight to change it.
There's a lot of really cool, you know, just looks back on certain teams that you'll hear about. Like, I mean, like, I learned a lot more about like the 80s basketball.
80s basketball, like between the college and NBA ones, there's so many good ones. Some will make you cry, some will make you laugh. But like Winning Time, which is about Reggie Miller and the Pacers.
Yep.
And specifically like Reggie Miller versus Spike Lee. In the
I remember that shit.
Because he's just like Spike Lee's biggest troll ever, and the you know, and an enormous Knicks fan. And Reggie Miller is one of the best trash talkers in the history of the NBA.
Yep.
And just their legendary bouts during the NBA Finals.
There's some fun stuff, and I think that's kind of the real cool part of the.
So yes, if you have cable.
Even if you don't, you can get acquired.
Yes, but like if you have cable, you probably can watch some of these for free.
Right. There used to be, there might still be some on Netflix.
They took most of them off.
And that's sort of where I got hooked into it, was for Netflix. But then I started going like, well, because again, you know, getting back to sort of our original topic, because you brought WWE, they'd done a recent one on the XFL. And for those who don't remember that weird moment in time when Vince McMahon, you know, guy that formed the WWE, I think at the time WWF.
It was still F, yeah, because it changed in like 01,
right,
02.
And the thing is that if you know anything about the history of football, this isn't the first time.
No, there's another great 30 for 30 about
on the USFL.
On the USFL,
and why
Small
Donald
Potatoes,
Trump fucked it, and why Donald Trump fucked
favorites.
It over.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to hate Donald Trump more, no, go watch Who Killed the USFL.
What was funny was watching that doc open my eyes to like, oh, this is the man we're going to deal with. And it's so funny how that's playing out in real life.
Yeah, it's nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
Nothing at all. And Small Potatoes is like this really cool eye-opening doc, really good doc in general, because it's just like, wow, that's the motherfucker. We knew about him then, and we couldn't do shit then. If I had a time machine, you know, I may do some things.
I'm pretty sure if you have a time machine, that's not the one you're going for.
I don't know.
In terms of bad dudes in history, he's not there yet.
That's one I think that won't affect the timeline as much.
Well, we haven't seen yet.
All right. I think we
don't need a time machine to solve this problem at this moment.
Right.
That will hopefully not change.
But anyways, but regardless of that, watching the XFL one, like, I had no idea when the XFL launched that NBC was losing its NFL broadcast rights. I had no clue. I'm like, oh, that makes a whole lot of, like, all these things started coming. I'm like, all this makes so much sense. Because I remember the first game when the guy got injured. I remember watching that as a kid going like, what happened to this guy? And it's like, yeah, he's not up for the season. I was like, oh crap, well that sucks for him.
Yeah, it's like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Because
it was such a weird thing, like, as a kid. I mean, it's cool when you look back and look at what the XFL brought forward to the table in terms of like the broadcast stuff that we see now as sort of standard, which is like,
yeah, the big fly cam,
yeah,
that runs over every sporting event,
miking all the players.
XFL,
yeah,
that, like,
the players.
That's where that came from.
I was like, that's
having
really
cameramen on the field was an XFL thing. Like, basically, everything you love about current football broadcast was pretty much stolen from them.
Yeah.
Now everything else, they screwed up.
Oh yeah.
Like everything.
like they it's so funny because, you know, and this happens with any broadcast television a lot. But when you're under, when you're low in the ratings, you'll take chances. When you're not low in the ratings, you won't take chances. And there was like the moment of that they had like a really big guest for SNL, and SNL was like just starting.
They had J-Lo.
They had J-Lo.
Because that's the era we're talking here, when J-Lo was a big freaking deal.
God, it's so funny. It was such,
and they finally had a good game, and it went into overtime, yeah, and it was amazing. And so
it went like to
the
triple
overtime
being
or some shit like
that.
Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon go like way back, like WWF in the 80s had several network specials on NBC because Vince and Dick Ebersol, like,
that was probably the coolest part of that doc was seeing Vince talk about this, wishing it had taken off, mm-hmm. but was totally cool on a friendship level with this guy. Because
they had been friends for so long.
Well, but even the idea of, like, he knew on a business level that this just wasn't,
yeah,
this wasn't working out.
This is what you have to understand. WWF was so profitable at this time that this colossal fuck-up barely touched that company.
Right.
Like this, you know, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 to $30 million they lost.
Something like that.
WWE, like, this was the height of the Stone Cold Steve Austin era and The Rock and, like, everyone who was amazing that, you know, made
Well, because even to the point where, like, the opening ceremony is like, if you smell what the XFL is cooking, like, basically, just, yeah, you know, and they aped a lot of, I mean, because the hard part was, and this
they were trying to make football more entertaining,
right?
Which eventually, like, and through non-traditional means. Now, some of it was terrible, but some of it was really clever.
Oh yeah, no, there's some really, like, again, on the there are certain things I think. That, I mean, and it's such a hard thing, because I remember even at the time, the XFL was just, you know, was a joke. Mm-hmm. And only because, not because wrestling was a joke, but because at the time, you know, and we could argue,
Vince McMahon at the time was played a ludicrous character
that's
TV.
The thing. Is that like,
and everyone was like, no, that's who he really is, but it wasn't.
Right, because he was playing himself. He was playing
this sort of evil version of himself.
So
which if you talk to someone who's watched wrestling long enough, might actually just be himself. I'm of the opinion there's some truth to that character.
So, ultimately, what we tend to do in entertainment, if we can't act ourselves. And wrestling, a lot of times, even if you can act, you know that this is what you're supposed to do, is you basically take an aspect of your personality and you ramp it up to 11. A lot of streamers do this. A lot of internet people do this. If you're fans of, like, Funhouse, like, Lawrence will latch onto something and do that. And a lot of times it's a very easy tactic to do because, A, it's not hard to act like you. Mm-hmm. And it's not hard to act like you to the nth degree because you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that there's an aspect of Vince McMahon that is that, you know. And
yes.
And that's just a businessman.
It literally, so the whole character came out of the Montreal Screwjob when Vince McMahon screwed Bret Hart. And for, in context of what happened, you understand why what happened, but it made him a bad guy on TV. And at that point, he really wasn't a TV personality outside of having previously done commentary.
Right.
But that's sort of like...
But you always... And again...
But like then he became this Mr. McMahon character who was out to screw everyone.
Which is such an easy, you know, on a story level...
Yeah.
It's such an easy thing to have. Because you then...
And then you have Stone Cold Steve Austin who just wants to beat up his boss. And anyone who's ever had a bad job wanted to give their boss a Stone Cold Stunner.
Right. And the thing
and
is...
And you have
all
perfection.
Fucking, and it's like, we all know that this, you know, like Stone, you know, Steve himself, you know, probably now is like, yeah, Vince is a great guy, you know.
Sometimes. I mean, they get along, but like there was always a few drops of truth mixed in with the story.
I'll put it this way. In as much as any director can be a good guy, any boss can be a good guy, mm-hmm. in as much as somebody that you eventually have to deal a contract negotiation with.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. And that, you know, that's the character you saw was, you know, contract mode that, and also too, it's easier to have this, you know, if you think about your famous stories in history and even your stories in fiction, it's very easy for the audience to latch on to the rebel team. It's mm-hmm. easy to launch on to the underdogs and that. And typically you have the big corporation, you know, and you know, or the joke was, I think in one of the Homestar Runner games for made by Telltale, Strong Bad is fighting the municipality.
Yeah,
which is ran by King of Town and a whole bunch of other weird shit, and it becomes sort of, you know, 1984 kind of parody.
And literally WWF called it The Corporation.
Right, that exactly. The Corporation.
That was the name of Vince right. McMahon and all of his minions.
Right, and again, it was this, like, The Corporation, this dark thing.
Yes.
No one knows. And then you have, you know, and now you've continued that, I think, with Triple H, who's like the...
Yeah, he's the bad authority figure.
Right.
Because sort of him and Stephanie have kind of combined to replace Vince
yeah.
as the bad guy in charge.
Because again, it's an easy... It's a very easy writing mechanic.
Yeah.
And so, and the thing with wrestling as a storytelling kind of mechanic, as now we've all been sort of, you know, we're no longer talking about whether it's real or not. We know yeah. that this is story driven. We know that there's athleticism to what they do for sure. But we know that whoever, you know, the winner or loser is determined by the script,
yeah.
which is not a problem.
It's live theater with death-defying stunts.
Right, exactly.
And the minute you start looking at it through that lens, it makes yeah. a lot more sense.
Right, and we have
it
all...
can make you feel things.
For sure, and that's the thing. That's
in the same way that theater can
right,
make you feel things.
Right, that's the thing. That's the idea behind it. So now that we know that, it's very, you know, a lot of things done in theater is less about, like, if you think about... like a movie, you have the ability to do different angles of a shot, and a lot of in film we talk about what the lens can see, and you can kind of have fun with that. Like with depth of field, you can do things like forced perspective stuff, where you can have a man that is normally, you know, 5 foot 11, and his, you know, cohort is 6 foot. Two, you can make the cohort the Hobbit and shrink him down to 4 feet because
yeah.
it's easy. And you have the ability to do it with sets, and you have all these kind of things. Like, there's always that optical illusion of, like, you know, who's the tallest of this thing? And it's like, would you guess it's the short one because we have this at an angle? And
yes.
that kind of bullshit.
Because
sort of
Tom Cruise is standing on a stack of boxes.
He always is. By the way, I was at work last night, and they had the TV on there. Tom Cruise hasn't aged at all. I want to know who, like, is that what Scientology does? Like, you can, like, sacrifice, like, to, like, you know.
It's the placenta eating.
Okay. That makes sense. Because he has not aged. Like, you look at him then, he's just like, fuck. He looks like he's, like, it's Jerry Maguire.
He also might have the best surgeon in Hollywood.
Probably. Only because of The Mummy's coming out. There's some cool shit. There's actually some cool. Anyway, going back to the whole thing of that. So you have in theater this idea that. You don't have camera angles, so you have these simple sets usually.
Well, in wrestling, you do,
but only if you're watching a broadcast.
But if you're in a person, it's a totally
right.
different.
Well, because that's who they're playing to that audience. They're not,
yeah.
you know, they're not playing.
Well, yes and no. So if you go, so this is the difference between WWE and everyone else. Is in WWE, the hardest part is learning how to play for camera because you're expected to.
Okay.
Whereas if you go see your local wrestling show. They're just trying to play to the whole audience, which
right.
is usually on four sides. And it is in a WWE show, but they are taught and, you know,
but I guess what
trained
I guess
to,
what
to play to camera.
I guess what I mean is it's different than, like, because even broadcast television fiction is more akin to film than theater.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if you're,
unless you have like a straight up one camera show,
right,
which really don't exist,
right, exactly. And so, what I guess I mean is that you typically in theater have to, like, you would whereas in film you could get away with an internal monologue voiceover maybe, and even then you wouldn't do it. You just mm-hmm. kind of have that like weird, you're like, what, you know, you do a close up, zoom in, pan, mm-hmm. whatever kind of thing. You can do that in wrestling, and you can do that to a certain degree when you start, you know, when you don't get on mic kind of thing before, like, they fight off.
But it's mostly
but
a promo.
Yeah, but typically at a promo, a promo in...
It's a monologue.
Right, it's a monologue. It's
sometimes it's a conversation.
Right.
But sometimes it is just...
Yeah,
one person talking to an audience.
But that is basically what a monologue is in theater.
Yeah,
and I think
wrestling is probably more akin to Saturday Night Live in terms
yeah.
of what's on television.
Right,
because it's live at least.
And
Raw,
Saturday
SmackDown.
Night is also very much.
Yeah, it's a scripted program.
Right,
but like It's not something where you are rehearsing for weeks or exactly. anything. You're kind of
in the moment.
You get one shot at it.
Right, exactly.
And
is why I love my favorite old SNL sketch is the more cowbell sketch because Jimmy Kimmel loses it every so often.
Jimmy Fallon.
Sorry.
Well, Jimmy Fallon loses it in 40 to 60% of
but
his
love,
SNL.
I love the way Jimmy
sketch.
Fallon loses it because
because
it's like I think like almost anybody in that like with Will Ferrell's performance like almost loses it
because
I think even like I think like everyone, you know,
Christopher Walken too everything about
but,
that
but regardless of that, so you know you take that idea in there, the idea of being theater, and it ramped up and you go like, that's wrestling, that's awesome, and that's why you have the corporation kind of concept. But then you try to port that to football, and football is this entire, you know, at the time, and still is to this degree, a very, very different audience. I mean, to the point now where, I mean, the real drama right now, and I have friends of mine who are thinking of, like, who watch football, who are probably not going to be watching this year because of all the,
yeah.
Is it Kirkpatrick?
Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick. You can say Kirkpatrick.
Yeah. And like, everything that Vince McMahon said about the NFL, that it's the no fun league, that it's, you know, this totalitarian dictatorship of sport,
right?
Much like FIFA or Bernie Eccleston era Formula One. Thank God he's gone.
We can talk about FIFA later.
Yeah,
we can have a whole document on FIFA.
But like,
I want that document.
Everything he said about the NFL was right, except that the NFL's bigger than ever right now.
Yeah,
and like last year, they did see a significant drop in viewership between how they're handling like the, you know, traumatic brain injury thing and concussions, to how they handled the Kaepernick thing, which I think really only affects people under 35. I think people over 35 don't get it or actively are sort of like, you know, he's a terrible person for, you know, peacefully protesting in a what I think as peaceful protests go. Just freaking kneeling quietly.
It's like, rock on.
Like, literally, like, Gandhi style. Just, I'm just going to sit here.
What's funny is that...
To express, you know, my thought, and then to coherently and eloquently spell out exactly his grievance, which is not that, like, everyone's evil. It's that this is a problem I see, and I think more people should look at it, and we should try to solve it.
No, and even with that, and it's funny, we were talking about earlier the 30 for 30 for OJ, and even that play, you know, shows up with like how the Olympics played in at that point in time and things like that. And I see the parallel to this, and I'm like, this is not bad. This is we should be talking about this. Thank you.
If
nothing more, we have the dialogue open.
I feel horrible.
I do too.
That we live in a world where Colin Kaepernick, who is a decent quarterback,
can't get a
job, and a whole lot of guys who throw freaking interception after interception can.
Yeah.
Because the NFL is so afraid of personality at this point.
Yeah.
Of players having, like, any sort of public thing and, like, any sort of controversy, even though I don't think it's controversial, anything he's done.
No. not in
like,
the slightest.
They're so afraid to not have 100% control of everything that they're like, no, we're not gonna, like, they're, someone in a back room is like, don't hire him.
Whereas I think that's the entire opposite now for the WWE, especially when I think of
I mean, there are people who have been blacklisted by them who will never be hired for reasons both rational and
irrational.
Well, 'cause
I think the guy that's doing, like, and only because he's come up in my view more times than not, one, because we share a lot of mutual friends that I've now learned about. We share a lot of mutual fan bases. And I've only talked with him like once or twice, but never like in an in-depth conversation type thing. Austin Creed, or better known as Xavier Woods.
Yeah, who is awesome.
He
has everything right with the world.
Well, because he has his own like YouTube channel where he's streaming games.
He's got Plan A, which is TV every week, and Plan B, which is his internet friends.
He's part of what's called the nerdy NPCs, nerdy people of color collective, which a lot of my friends are part of. Even I am in a weird way associated with. And he was on Kinda Funny Lives, their things. So he's doing inner stuff.
I saw a video of him rapping with Mega Ran.
That was pretty great. That was at Kinda Funny Live.
I didn't know Spit Rhymes, but he's pretty okay.
Well, I didn't know Ran was playing Kinda Funny Live, and I was like, oh shit, because that thing is, at PAX South this past year at the MagSpace, because at that same weekend was also WrestleMania. Was it Wrestle?
It was the Royal Rumble was in San Antonio, which I was there for, not at PAX.
Right. So he was in town, and he was there kind of doing like a little bit of promotion, whatever. And one of the Nerdcore guys, like Rand knows him because he talked with Xavier before, and he's like, mm-hmm. "Come over here." One of my friend is performing up there, like, is a huge fan, and so he walks in and just like, "That's Xavier Woods." Everyone like kind of, you know, like makes a thing, and the artist up there, my friend, the guy's his name is Omai, really cool guy, and Vincent Banks, better known as DJ Rockman, they're up there and they look and they go like, "Oh shit. It's Xavier Woods." And the thing is, they have like, you know, a wrestle song based on that. And of course, you know, if you know Mega Ran, he's got, you know, Matt Maney, he's got New Day Rocks, which is, you know, the one we did on Kind of Funny Live with him. And it's so, you know, it's cool to know, you know, because even before that, like he'd been on a couple of Game Attack videos there on Screwtech, stuff like that, and kind of being fun there. And seeing him even at PAX South, he was fucking playing people against in fucking NFL Blitz, one of the best arcade games ever. And
he is one of us.
Right. The thing is, like
you have more in common. If you're listening to this, you probably have a lot more in common with Xavier Woods than you know.
Because I'm not the biggest wrestling fan. I only knew of him through other friends mm-hmm. of mine, and you know I knew of him because of the Bootios thing, you know, the sticker, you know,
he has
the
very popular gaming channel on YouTube.
That's why that's
called up down down.
Right, and that's when people when I talked with Vincent, he told me all this stuff. I was like, oh, look, this makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Now I understand, because you know I see clips come by, and I don't know what big event it was, but I mean like obviously in their last big pay-per-view thing, they came out in a giant Bootios box, which is mm-hmm. amazing.
They've done that. They came out as Final Fantasy characters, right, at WrestleMania.
They came out Super Saiyans.
They came out as Dragon Ball Z last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, Super Saiyans. I'm like, that's like,
and that's fucking who those guys are.
Right. And
they're dorks.
I didn't realize that because I
and there's a character, there's a girl now, Alexa Bliss, who does low-key cosplay. she has an Iron Man outfit, and it's mostly just colors and themes.
Right.
She has a Freddy Krueger outfit, and like you don't you wonder until you hear her talk about it, and like, no, like this is my, like, I just like dressing up as characters in wrestling gear. I get custom made gear.
Well, because like
a lot of
now the wrestlers that are coming in, and I think even some in the past, I think even like I'd like to say, because I know The Rock went through football, like went through the USF, ironically, yeah. USFL, I think.
No, he played at the University of Miami.
Okay, University.
He was a world champion there.
Because I can't remember if he had done theater or not.
No, I don't believe so.
I know a lot of wrestlers now.
Yeah, his dad was a wrestler. His grandfather was a wrestler.
That's right.
He came through it the old-fashioned way, which is because like
I know
family.
A lot now. A lot of the wrestlers who get into this and want to get serious will also take some sort of like theater mm-hmm. in either, you know, community college level or collegiate level.
It's take theater, take improv classes.
Yeah,
just
all
that's
helpful.
And that
almost is like I'd almost say. And this is why I say – I would almost want to say that might be more valuable.
Improv is probably the way to go.
Only because like if I think of like even the 90s era and this, you know, this guy is no longer wrestling anymore. But I think one of his – I'd like to say one of his kids is.
Who?
Mick Foley, I think.
Yeah, Mick Foley he no longer wrestles. He was on TV for a while, but he had surgery, so he's off.
Right.
His daughter is considering going into wrestling, was trying to become a wrestler.
I remember something like that.
I didn't follow
the rest of
the story.
But Mick Foley wasn't the most in-shape guy, I'll put it that way.
He was, but no one knew. At times in his career, he very much was.
Right.
But he didn't dress like it, and he was never like a bodybuilder guy. He was just sort of one of those people who's really athletic despite not looking athletic at all.
Right. I guess that's what I'm trying to say is like he wasn't the bodybuilder. He wasn't sort of what you consider.
He was in an era of dudes that were jacked and he was not.
Right. But he played that to his advantage, his humor in terms of like, you know, things. And so a lot of times I felt and now looking at even with your Xavier Woods of that, I think having a personality, I think that's something that you know, we're talking about like NFL not wanting personalities, whereas the WWE, and it's like it's bigger than ever. It's such mm-hmm. a weird thing because like for me
it is and it isn't. It's nowhere near as big as it was in 2001, but it's I think more interesting and diverse than ever.
I think
in terms of having a lot more to offer.
I think that's what I mean is that like I feel I feel it's if you because you think about maybe, let's just say 3 years ago, for sake of argument, it might have been kind of embarrassing to say you watch wrestling. It might have been.
Oh, wrestling's having a moment right now.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. This is what
wrestling is having a moment because one, WWE is becoming less of Vince McMahon company and becoming more of Stephanie and Hunter's company.
Right.
And they're just younger and more progressive and more willing to cut some ties with the old ways.
Well, because Vince doesn't give a shit. Vince says,
well, I mean, he does. He still is in charge of creative and still right. sometimes does genius stuff.
Well, I'm saying like,
there's more voices in
there. What I'm saying, he doesn't give a shit in that. Is it making money? Is it profitable?
Oh, he cares.
I mean, but that's what I mean.
He cares a lot.
But in that regard.
But he's got his millions.
Right. But that's not, what I'm saying is that he cares in that, is this going to be a new profitable sector? Because
mm-hmm.
he's never been a, he's never, you know, if you think of wrestling as this concept, you know, when Vince came into the game, and they even talk about this in XFL, there wasn't the concept of how we know wrestling as today.
It wasn't national. It was local.
Right.
It was regional.
Right. And then he had this idea, and this idea became a multi-billion. I think
it's now a billion-dollar company.
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, Vince ain't afraid to do things like, oh, I don't know, make a video game.
Some of the best Nintendo 64 yeah. games ever are wrestling games.
Put content behind this weird cable paywall called pay-per-view.
And then create his own network.
And then create
everything ever.
Right. The point being is
with literally 50 years of history
and
on
two,
it.
Not afraid to also at this point say, what if we just put it digitally?
Yeah. And it's not perfect.
Right.
You still need cable to watch
it's
Raw
still
and
trying,
SmackDown.
Though. It's still fucking doing shit.
Because the TV deal is so much more lucrative right. than $10 a month subscriptions.
But
it's awesome.
But they're trying.
If you like wrestling,
yeah.
go get WWE Network. It's amazing.
But even in that regard, they have the lifeboat in that
yeah.
when if
well they've gotten rid of they saw pay-per-view as a sinking ship.
Yep.
Now UFC has kind of undone that, but eventually, like if UFC decided we're tired of sharing pay-per-view, if they
yeah.
they'll get to a point where maybe they don't want to do it anymore. But as cable subscriptions die,
yeah.
so will pay-per-view.
Exactly, and that's sort of the idea of that. And again, I see him going. Yeah, that might be Hunter and Stephanie kind of.
Well, yeah,
initiative.
I mean now you can if you have Hulu,
right?
You can watch stuff the next day,
right?
But it's
and that might
you
again,
still have to
that might be
to
like,
watch
again
it
like
live.
A Hunter and Stephanie initiative.
It, well, it's the TV deal is incredibly lucrative. It's something
yeah.
like
that's why
again, it's like 20 or 25% of their revenue for their current.
I mean,
TV
I'll put it this
deal.
Way: if at any
it's huge.
If at any point in time
that changes, oh yeah,
Vince would be like on board, like fuck it.
If the TV dried up,
yeah.
they would go
yeah.
digital
and,
only.
And Vince
and figure
has
it
no,
out.
And that's what I'm trying to basically say. Vince has
yeah.
no.
He's
problem.
Not afraid to take a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he so. Wrestling in the early 80s when he took over the company for his dad did not want to go national, and Vince had this idea.
Right.
That you had all of these little wrestling, they were called territories,
mm-hmm.
and it was usually a state or two or three, depending on how big they were.
Right.
And you only ran shows in that area, and your TV only showed in that area. Vince saw cable
right.
in the 80s, like... This and he just said at a very early time when no one was, this is the future. We need to get WWF
everywhere. Right.
And ultimately bought up most of the territories.
Yep.
And whoever didn't sell ultimately got run over.
That has been the one thing I have respected on Vince compared to the other, you know, other business people. And whether or not you like the guy or not doesn't
matter.
Oh,
he is a controversial character.
But
you have to respect what he accomplished.
He's a damn good
businessman. He took a carnival business that was still a carnival business
and made it
in the early 80s
yep.
and made it a billion-dollar company in 30
exactly.
years.
Exactly. And I think that's
and did it with no help.
Yeah.
Did it himself with his people.
And that's kind of why
it ain't perfect.
You know.
But like I respect that a
and
lot.
And that's the thing. That's sort of where I
and
am.
And he's mellowed in his old age.
Well, that's again, it's cuz it's the point of like he can play that character again. He can. There's nothing that says he can't.
He won't. He can't anymore.
Well, I'm
you
saying,
have to understand when he was playing that character, Vince was fucking ripped.
I guess that's a good point.
He was ludicrously like in shape at, and he was in his 50s.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah. He couldn't play the character like as
he wouldn't be the same thing. No, you need his daughter and Triple H, Hunter, Paul, whatever you want to call him.
I mean, it's
is he still married to?
Yeah, they're actually married. Although, if you go back in history, they were fake married on TV.
Okay, who's really married? Okay,
they are actually married. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, okay. The wrestler, is Stephanie McMahon.
Is McMahon and his wife still together?
Yeah, him and
because she's now
Linda are still. They've been married forever. Shane has a wife, but Linda, she's not on TV.
And I'm going to say this really, really quickly as an aside. Linda may be the only person that is currently in the White House that actually knows shit.
She's qualified for her job. Her job is like, she's like the secretary of small business. She ran a family business for 30 some years. She's qualified.
I just want to say that before we continue to how weird of a world we are. It's like,
how weird of a world. Because
it's like, yeah, she's qualified.
Spoiler alert, Vince and Trump have history.
Right.
Trump once shaved Vince's head on live television.
Right.
Over a wrestling match.
But
because wrestling's amazing.
But I would say definitely Linda is qualified, which is like weird to, I mean,
she is weirdly one of the three people Trump hired who's vaguely qualified for their
jobs. Exactly. It's like,
might not be good at it, but at least on paper.
Well, because she's complaining about like there's a political article how she's like, she's kind of complaining about how fucked up things are.
Oh my god, it's insane.
Because she actually could do shit.
So, to date this, but we haven't heard the Comey testimony
yet.
And
not yet.
That's going to be
insane.
We'll hear
that tomorrow. But only reason I asked that because even like in the history of the WWF or WWE, you had like Linda, like, I want a divorce, and it's like,
yes, she was a character on TV. I forgot about that. There was the time that Vince drugged her for several months, and she was just in a chair, and
that's why I have to ask.
Blank stare until the one time she stood up from that chair and kicked him in the balls.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
That's why I ask these questions of like, what's real, what's not, because I never know.
Most of it's not real.
That's what I figured.
Like,
I figured.
If you were going to divorce someone, you would get the hell off of their television.
That's true. That's what I always thought, too. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. It wouldn't be the case.
But Hunter and Steph were fake married. Hunter kidnapped Stephanie, drugged her, and married her at a drive-thru chapel in Vegas because wrestling is amazing.
Of course. And then now they're really married.
But then actually, after the fact, they, like, now they're married, have three kids, and like are happy.
The only thing I ever remember, and this will be the last thing we leave with you on wrestling history, was at one point in time, Triple H, and either for real or for not, was in a relationship with another wrestler, Chyna.
They were actually, yes, they actually dated
for a while. Sadly, she did a porno with
X-Pac, who she was with for a very long time after the fact.
Which still, I will say, has one of the best names for a porno.
Yes.
You know, fuck Debbie Dubs Dallas. Like, this is One Night in China. I'm just like, that is such a good play on word shot thing. And I think she's just,
and that wasn't like stolen found footage.
No,
they that sold was, that shit was, themselves and apparently made a lot of money.
Of course. It's a great title. It's a phenomenal title. Like, I props to whoever pitched that first. I'm like, that is that is a double entendre to top all double entendres.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all it needed to be was filmed in like Beijing. Was it filmed in Beijing? It should have been filmed in Beijing. If not,
I have no idea.
I neither.
I've never seen it. I only know of its existence.
That's good enough. Patrick, we've hit the hour mark. Thank you for coming on, talking about all the weird things we talked about, from XFL to wrestling to politics. Let's say people want to catch stuff, because I know you do. I know you've been doing a lot of with Petey Rave.
Yes,
on his thing.
I do a music podcast called Record Breakers.
Yes,
recordbreakers.com @4 Record Breakers on Twitter. It's a album of the week show.
Yeah,
sort of the concept being, y'all remember when you were in high school and it was lunchtime and you got to sit and talk. And you'd talk about music and someone would talk about whatever album they were listening to that week. It's sort of that. So we all listen to a thing and talk about it. So if you like music and you want an excuse to listen to stuff you probably haven't heard before, or, you know, go revisit stuff maybe you have, that's literally why we do it, is so we can get new music, because, you know, like...
we all need some sort of music.
I sometimes still listen to the same 12 albums I've been listening to for 15 years, but I need to get some new stuff mixed in there.
For sure. Of course, you want to find me. I'm at Vincent404 there in the chat rooms and the Twitters. And you want to catch previous podcasts, you can head to our website, cosmicradiotv.com/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the show notes, all this other stuff. And of course, if you want to watch live now at 7 p.m. Central. If you happen to be watching live now and or you're watching the YouTube version afterwards, we are now streaming officially to Twitch at twitch.tv/CosmicRadioTV and YouTube at youtube.com/CosmicRadioTV. So whatever works for you, whether Twitch is a little too slow, maybe you want to go to something that auto, you know, transcodes for you, you can head over there. And of course, if you happen to have some money left over and you look in your pocket and you see, you know, $1.50, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that is it for today. So tune in next time to talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Hey, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.